morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Our sermon topic, New Every Morning, based on Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. Mrs. Judy Tufel is at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer. Guest pastor this morning is the Reverend Warren Schmidt, and we invite you to join us as we sing our first hymn this morning, hymn number 907.
Good morning. I thank you for the invitation to be with you today and lead you in worship for this Sunday, making the short 8-mile trips eastward from Concordia. We use the Order of Divine Service setting 3, page 184. We rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace unto all of you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm this morning will be read responsively by half verses. Psalm 30 begins at the lower right-hand corner of that page, and then we'll continue on the next page. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who ran to death.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. As for me, I said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountains stand strong.
Your face, I
to you, O Lord, I cry.
And to the Lord, I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for my mourning into dancing.
You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated. The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. I'm going to abbreviate it and read just verses 22 and 23, which will provide the basis for the sermon and the message this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle continues a series of readings we're having from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. Today, the first 15 verses of chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave generously, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this manner I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also the desire to do it. Now finish doing it as well, so that by your readiness in desiring that may be matched by your completing it that out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Here ends the epistle. We rise for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter, reading at the 21st verse.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, for he was beside the sea. And then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they came and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that they should tell no one. And he told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be.
We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten not of his Father before all worlds, without begotten, light of light, very God.
May be seated, and we continue with the next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be ours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's new? That's a way many a conversation begins when old friends meet up and they haven't talked in a while. Those three words, so what's new? And the conversation will proceed telling about the grandparents, the grandchildren, how the crops are doing, mostly good things that are happening. Of course, sometimes when we are in that case situation, we have burdens carrying. Our hearts are heavy with suffering, with our hearts are with crosses that we are carrying. If you're talking to a good friend, you will know that he can listen to you with great empathy, and then you'll open your heart and talk to him. Otherwise, you'll just want to talk about the good things, not the hard times. So what's new? Those three words spark quite a conversation. I have three words for our meditation and our theme this morning from the two verses of the Book of Lamentations that I read as the Old Testament reading. Those three words are new every morning. They're sort of a theme that come out of those two verses. The totality of the two verses are just 24 words, so I'll read them again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Especially that last phrase, we just sang that in that wonderful hymn. Lamentations. When we read the title of that book of the Old Testament, we're expecting some sorrowful words. And in those five chapters, most of it is rather dark and gloomy. We expect that. But here, right in the middle of the book, these two verses come forward like rays of sunshine. When we find out who the writer of the Book of Lamentations is, those lamentings, that he is Jeremiah, we even expect further a lot of dark, dreary times. Because Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He lived and worked during the 6th century BC, and that was very hard times for the people of Judea. A large percentage of the population of Jerusalem and the surrounding territory had been carried off into captivity, in slavery, in the Empire of Babylon, far to the east. And besides having their leadership and their population decimated, the town and the city of Jerusalem had been leveled almost completely also. The grand and glorious temple that Solomon had built 4 centuries earlier lay in rubble. The glory days of Jerusalem were long past. So, when we go to anything that Jeremiah has written, whether it's the 50-some chapters of his book of prophecy, or the 5 chapters of this manuscript of the Lamentations, we expect sadness, mourning, lamenting. But not in these two verses that I picked out. Jeremiah is telling the people what God is giving them even in these hard times. He tells them that their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who revealed himself to Moses in the way of the name Yahweh, which means I am who I am. He's the center of their existence, the one always present with them. Yahweh was still with them, blessing them every day. And then Jeremiah picks out 2 qualities of Yahweh that are so meaningful and so comforting. He says, steadfast love and mercy. And he says clearly, they never cease, they never end. The qualities of the eternal God, how he deals with us people, will never change because God is eternal. And that's what Jeremiah says. They are then new every morning. But when we hear about something new, we usually think about something that has changed, that is different, that it maybe even is better than the past. I've got new clothes today, that means I have some old ones that were worn out or out of style. I have a different car that I'm driving now, one with all the newest gadgets and just better mechanically and a better ride. It's different from the old. We usually associate new with something replacing the old and the obsolete. Even advertisers, when they change their product at all, they say new and improved. But not God when he tells us about his qualities and his goodness to us. Steadfast love and mercy. They never change, but they are always new. In the Hebrew, and pastors sometimes struggle to look at that Hebrew, but there's a word in the Hebrew that, look it up, and it just seems to mean love. But the translators of the English said, that's just not good enough. Because the English word love can mean so many things, so weak and wavering and changing. And so they translate this word as steadfast love. It was there for God's people when he sent Moses to lead the people out of the slavery of Egypt. And Jeremiah is assuring them that God is still there even during their hard times. So I want to explain very clearly what steadfast love and also mercy mean to us today in our lives. I think of them as two sides of a very precious coin. And one side is mercy. And I understand mercy best when I think of it in this way. Mercy is what God doesn't do to us when we deserve punishment, when we deserve hard times. Mercy is what God doesn't give us even though we deserve it. We've sinned. We've rebelled against God. And oftentimes we turn our back to God and walk out of his light and warmth and glory into the darkness of wanting to live without God. And sometimes our rejection is so complete we do stumble and fall in the darkness. But God's mercy is there when we turn. He doesn't give us punishment for what we have deserved. That's mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. But then, my friends, steadfast love. That's the other and most precious side of this precious coin. It's grace. It's forgiveness. And this we certainly don't deserve. In no way have we earned God's favor and his forgiveness. But God gives us these beautiful gifts, these life-giving, sustaining, and strengthening gifts in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. So you see, we can understand them, mercy and steadfast love, by quite opposite definitions. Mercy, when God doesn't give us what we deserve. Steadfast love, when God does give us what we don't deserve. And steadfast love is always understood in the light of Christ's cross. The debt of our sin was paid for by the perfect life of Jesus and then by his sacrificial death on the cross. And that was done for me and for every one of you. He died for me. At 3:00 on the afternoon of Good Friday, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he wasn't crying a lament that my life is done, I failed. No, he was saying his work of salvation of the human race is finished. We can see that 3:00 on Good Friday is the time when that page in the book of life in heaven that was written there at our baptism with our name on it, that page is stamped, "Sin is paid in full." We are blessed by the steadfast love of God, giving us mercy and love that we don't deserve. And the theme then It's new every morning. You know, summer mornings when the sun is up by 6 o'clock, it's a time that it's a little easier to get up, and I find it a little easier to get out and take a 6 a.m. walk. But things do change, and it doesn't seem new every morning. Last Wednesday morning, it was good to get up. Been pretty dry, and the storm had whipped through Concordia and also here, and given some life-giving rain, and even the lawns and landscaping seemed to have greened up overnight from the life-giving rains. Everything was fresh and new. The breeze was out of the north, the air was dry, it was cool. We could easily say as we walked around God's creation on Wednesday morning, His blessing of that day was new every morning. But then Friday morning, I stepped outside, the heat and humidity and heavy air, and the sun was coming up in the east like a glaring red ball, just streaming down and producing sweat and a little toil and weariness immediately as I walked around. New every morning on a morning like that. And then this morning is just a little different, cooler, but we're receiving some gentle, life-giving rain. Well, out in God's creation, the gifts vary, but overall, He's always blessing us with all that we need for this body and life. But as we step out every day, regardless of the temperature, whether winter, summer, springtime, or fall, His blessings are the same, new every morning. You and I are children of God, daughters and sons of the Heavenly Father because of our baptism. And His Son, Jesus Christ, is our Good Shepherd, walking us with us that day. We will walk with God that day, and His mercies will be new every day. And we'll find some wonderful opportunities to glorify God and serve one another. And that's why we can say in that morning, as we ended the hymn that we just completed, "Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. They never cease. His steadfast love never comes to an end. Amen." And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, as the offerings are received, we will sing hymn 789. Please rise for the prayers. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we give you our adoration for the blessings you have sent to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to faith and keeping us in this faith. Accept our adoration and our commitment to serve you in every day of our lives. We do confess to you that we have often turned our backs and walked away from you out into the darkness of our selfishness and our sin. At that time, come to us and turn us back to you, assuring us of that beautiful, steadfast love that will never let us go. And we give you thanksgiving for the abundant and gentle rains of this past week, praying that they will bring to a bountiful harvest this year in the fall time, bringing crops to feed the hungry of the world and to give prosperity to those who labor and work in the agricultural places. We do bring to you our supplications, asking you for many blessings. We commit to your care and keeping Pat Duffy and Carol Thurman and many other families and friends of Emmanuel, some that we name silently in our hearts. Maybe, and perhaps very much so, they live far, far away from us. We can communicate with them only briefly, but we know that you are present with them in their rooms of illness or in their times of therapy and recover. At your time and in your way, bless them and bring them health. We pray also for those who are confined to care in the nursing homes of the area. We pray especially for your blessing upon them as they receive Holy Communion from Pastor Wing at different times during the week. And may they find comfort and strength, even as we now find that, coming to your altar to receive your body and blood with assurance that you are living with us, communing with us. We pray for the world outside of us, for our church, for our missionaries who are going to many, many foreign fields. We are remembering especially Chelsea Schrader on her trip to Hong Kong to teach English during this month of July. Bless her trip and those who travel with her, keeping them safe and giving them fruitful thanksgiving. We pray for the military, especially for Caleb Griffith and Rodney Hazemeyer, and for all those who defend our nation in distant and foreign lands, the men and women of the military, but also for those who work for peace in our own area, the police, the firemen, the first responders, those who come to emergency and help in time of need. Keep peace within our borders also, O Lord, that we may live in peace, not just here in our congregation, but also in our community and surrounding areas. These and all other things that we bring in our hearts now, we bring in the name of Jesus, knowing that it is through his merits that you hear and bless us, giving your mercies new every morning. Amen. We turn now to page 194 for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has ascended above the heavens and now is seated at your right hand, pouring out upon your people the Holy Spirit. And for this whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy And so with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, together as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy
will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
table.
Thank you.
Please rise and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We pray, we give thanks to you, Almighty God. You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you of your mercy to strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May be seated for the closing hymn.